Okay, we are recording and broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Okay, and I would ask our legal counsel, Eric Gilman, if he could make a brief statement about acting chair for this meeting.
Yeah, good morning. This is Eric Gilman, legal counsel. As you all are aware, Charlie Caspary, our former chair, stepped down at the last meeting. We did not elect a chair per the MOU. Any of the vice chairs can serve as acting chair. In this meeting, Jonathan Bishop, one of our vice chairs, will serve as the acting chair.
Great. Thank you, Eric. And Caitlin, you want to go over the meeting procedures?
Yes, thank you. As authorized by Government Code Section 111.33, this meeting will occur remotely via Zoom without an in-person meeting location. All members will be able to unmute themselves as needed, but we ask that microphones stay muted unless you are speaking. All participants will remain muted, and Commission staff will unmute you when it is your time to speak. If members have questions or comments, please use the virtual raise hand function. Excuse me, that's found at the bottom of the screen on the Zoom app. If you're participating by conference line, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. This meeting is being recorded and broadcasted, so we ask that you please speak clearly. And for technical support with Zoom, please email it@agpvideo.com. That concludes the logistics. I recommend that we move to member roll call and introductions.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. One moment while I share my screen. I will call members in order of last name, and you're welcome to state your affiliation as well. Let me just close some of these screens. Okay. Marcela Benavides.
Hi, everybody. My name is Marcela Benavides. I'm with LA County Public Works. I am the alternate for Director Mark Pestrella.
Jonathan Bishop.
Good morning, everyone. Jonathan Bishop, State Water Resource Control Board.
Jacob Berman.
Good morning, everyone. Jacob Berman. I am with Los Angeles City Council District 11, the alternate for Councilwoman Tracy Park.
Charles Kasperi.
Good morning, representing Las Virgenes Municipal Water District.
Morning, Tom Ford.
Yes, good morning. Tom Ford, Director of the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program.
Rock Camelgard.
Hi, Rock Camelgard, Valley Waterkeeper, alternate for Bruce Resnick.
Danielle LaFleur.
Good morning, Danielle LaFleur. I'm the Senior Environmental Scientist here with California State Parks, and I'm the alternate for Director Quintero.
Dan Murphy.
Dan Murphy, Marine Battalion Chief with Los Angeles County Fire Department Lifeguard Division.
Warren Ontiveros.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Warren Ontiveros. I'm here on behalf of our Director Gary Jones of the Department of Beaches and Harbors.
Catherine Peace.
Hi, good morning. Catherine Pease, Director of Science and Policy at Heal the Bay.
Randy Rodriguez.
Good morning, everyone. Randy Rodriguez, Senior Environmental Scientist, Supervisor, California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Susie Santelena.
Good morning, Susie Santelena, City of Los Angeles, LA Sanitation and Environment, alternate for Director Barbara Romero.
Rory Skay. Rory, are you able to unmute yourself?
Sorry, I was.
Oh.
Rory Skay, Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy, alternate for Joseph T. Edmiston.
Morning. Eric Stein.
This is Eric Stein, Vice Chair of the Technical Advisory Committee.
Clark Stevens.
Good morning, Clark Stevens, Executive Officer of the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains.
Stephen Uring.
Stephen Uring, representing the City of Malibu.
Claire Wagoner.
Claire Wagoner, State Water Board Alternate for Jonathan Bishop.
Dennis Washburn.
I'm the at-large representative alternate to Clark Stevens of the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains. Glad to be with you all.
Morning. Jeff Wilson.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Wilson with Chevron. I'm the business and economic interest representative on the commission.
Morning. Erica Yelensky.
Good morning, everyone. Erica Yelensky, Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Coordinator with EPA Region 9.
And I believe I skipped member Gloria Gray, if you'd like to unmute yourself. You're welcome to at this time. Apologies. If you're dialing in, you can dial *6 on your phone to unmute yourself. Was there any other members I missed?
Caitlin, okay. this is EJ Caldwell here from West Bay Municipal Water District. I'm having a hard time seeing everybody that's in the meeting. So I am the alternate to Director Gloria Gray for West Basin.
Okay, thank you. I will adjust your name because it looks like you're signed in as her. Okay, thank you. That'll conclude roll call. And I recommend that we move to item one, public comment.
Caitlin, before we do that, can you just confirm how many voting members are in the meeting? I couldn't follow.
Oh, sure. I have a tracker for that. I know we have at least 14 at the start of the meeting.
Do we have 15?
Sorry, my spreadsheet is frozen. So okay. Give me one moment.
We do, Eric. Yes.
We do. Okay, we do. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So then we can move on to item one, which is public comment. This is the opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are not on the agenda. Do we have any requests for public comment, Caitlin?
Yes, we received one request in advance to comment on item 4B, the presentation on the work plan.
Okay, so we'll take that at that moment. If there are no other public comments, we'll move on to the order of the agenda. At this point, there's no proposed change to the order of the agenda. Does anyone have a request to change? Okay, then we'll move to report from the chair. There's we had a executive meeting on January 19th, and the commission staff and the National Estuarine Program Director provided updates on the work on the recent Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program activities. Commission staff led a discussion to identify priority information items to be scheduled for the governing board in 2023. Commission staff updated the executive committee on planning for limited revisions to the commission's memorandum of understanding. And executive committee voted to approve the proposed agenda for this board meeting. There was no closed session. Unless there are any questions, we can move on to the report from the technical committee.
Okay, thanks, John. So on behalf of Dan Pondello, who couldn't make it today, the technical advisory committee has not met since your last meeting. So we're continuing the activities that were reported last time, which includes continuing to work on the update to the State of the Bay report. Three Lane, which is the contractor, has been working with the Habitat subcommittee work groups to update, provide status updates on each of the various habitats that are included in the State of the Bay. Preliminary comments were due 3rd of February, so the contractor's continuing to compile and work on those. We're also continuing to look to fill two vacancies on the TAC, one to replace John Dorsey, who stepped down, and one to fill a role for somebody on the TAC with traditional ecological knowledge. And so that's a position we're still looking to fill. So that's the update from the Technical Advisory Committee. I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions for the TAC? Seeing none, we'll move on to the report from the Chief Administrative Director.
All right. Thank you, John. Hi, everybody. It's great to see you. I'm a little bit cold here this morning. I think I needed a warm cup of tea. So if my teeth start chattering, I apologize. So to start, I want to update everyone on some changes to membership. First, I want to welcome, you heard this in introductions, but I want to welcome Jacob Berman, who's the new alternate for Councilwoman Tracy Park of LA City Council District 11. I also want to welcome Marcella Benavides, the new alternate for Mark Pastrella of LA County Public Works. I'd also like to mention that member Bob Godfrey, he was a longtime representative of the Marina Del Rey Anglers, has retired from commission service. So that public member at large seat will remain vacant until the next election later this year or early next year. We'll see. Okay, next, I'd like to share some news. I have accepted another position and will be ending my service with the commission in March. The stakeholder workshop next week will be my last meeting, and it has been an absolute honor and pleasure to work together with all of you for the benefit of the Santa Monica Bay watersheds. The State Water Board management has already started the process to find a great replacement for me, and I'll include this announcement that I'm making in our meeting follow-up for anyone who is not with us. Okay, on to some good news. Last week, we learned that the SMBRC record retention schedule that the governing board approved in December has received final approval from the California Records and Information Management Program. So we'll post that final signed record retention schedule on the SMBRC website shortly. And now, since this is the first meeting of 2023, I kind of wanted to provide a snapshot, a brief snapshot of some of the upcoming items for the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program as a whole. So as will be covered later today, the fiscal year 24 annual work plan is expected to be brought to the governing board for approval at the April meeting. As part of the work plan for bipartisan infrastructure law funds that was approved last year, SMB NEP will be working on an equity strategy this year. The State of the Bay report, as you just heard from the TAC vice chair, is moving forward. That's moving to an online format. It should be released in the next few months with various habitat updates continuing over time. It's also almost time for an update to the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan, or CCMP. So that is likely to begin at the end of 2023. That CCMP is made up of 5 documents, so that will likely be staggered and will take a few years to complete. And also the next program evaluation, which is a 5-year requirement of the US EPA, is scheduled for 2024. And that process will kick off with preparations beginning in late 2023. So that's just a little flavor of what's to come. It sounds like a lot, but it is all coming up. A couple things to highlight. I wanna highlight that the Marine Protected Area Decadal Management Review report was released, and I'll send the link to that out with meeting follow-ups. There's also a request for proposals for deep ocean DDT research from the State Water Board and USC and California Sea Grant. And the due date for that is very soon. So I'll send that link out too. I wanna quickly mention that the Safe Clean Water Program Round 4 Stormwater Investment Plan development is moving forward. The South Santa Monica Bay Watershed Area Steering Committee voted on projects just yesterday, and County Public Works may be able to provide more of an overall update on Round 4 progress. Okay, and finally, before we have our new elections today, I wanna take a moment to thank again, Charlie Caspery, who was governing board chair for many years through the end of 2022. Charlie, I appreciate your service and you are a true pleasure to work with. So thank you on behalf of everyone for all the time, effort, and interest you put into the commission and into furthering the best interests of the Santa Monica Bay watersheds. It was impressive. I also want to thank John Bishop for stepping in as acting chair for the last couple of meetings. John, you've also shown a huge amount of dedication to the commission and are a pleasure to work with. So thanks to both of you. I will stop there and take any questions or comments that you may have.
Well, Marissa, I do want to thank you for your role and your work and moving the commission forward. And I'm sorry to see you go, but good luck with your new endeavors.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Claire, sure. You have your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say same. Just really happy for your promotion. Definitely deserving, definitely ready for it, but it's a huge loss for us. So Yeah, but since Marissa came on, she's done so much. Hopefully you've seen for the program, programmatic improvements, administrative procedures. She's made my job so much easier. I supervise the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission staff. And so just wanted to say thank you so much for that. Caitlin and you are just such a dynamic team. And just can't thank you enough. You've left the program in such a better condition than when you got it. So thank you. And then, as Marissa said, started the process for backfilling the position, but just a heads up and just a request for just patience and understanding for the time in which we will not have an administrative director. Caitlin is phenomenal. She is one person. So this is a one person show until we can backfill the position, and with how our processes work, it could take a couple of months. So feel free to reach out to me or Caitlin if you have any questions, but yeah, just a request for your patience. And then, yeah, Marissa, thank you so much. It's been awesome working with you.
Well, thank you, Claire. And that was all well said about the transition, and I'll provide that contact information and an update with the meeting follow-ups. Are there any other comments or questions? Okay, well, thanks everybody.
And I believe now that we'll move on to a update from the National Estuary Program Director, Tom.
Pardon, everybody hear me clearly? Very good, thank you. And I think that's where I'm gonna start off or follow suit. I wanted to welcome Marcela and Jacob. Welcome to the meeting. Looking forward to your participation. Have to echo those thanks to Charlie. Many years of dedicated and diligent service. Very much appreciated, Charlie. I know you were trying to get a word in there. I can pause and let you get in there if you want. No. Okay. We'll save it for later, perhaps. Yeah, very well done, Charlie. And also want to thank the TAC for the work that's been going into the preparation for a very new approach to the State of the Bay report that we think is going to be functional and really bridge the broad audiences of folks that we're trying to engage in the work. And I think Eric may have undersold one item. He was recently elected to be the vice, the vice chair of our TAC. So thanks for stepping up and taking on that extra work, Eric, for all of us. And then, yes, lastly, I agree with every word that Claire stated. Marissa, you really came in and helped move us forward. So I'm very grateful for all of your efforts and the results of those efforts, which I think have led to many, many improvements. So thank you. Thank you very much. then on to some more some business. I've been spending a fair amount of time liaising with EPA headquarters, as well as other directors of other NEP programs. We are gearing up for our annual spring meeting, which we are all expected to attend as NEPs in Washington, D.C. It's a chance for us to meet some new faces, reinforce some relationships, and also get into some meaningful dialogue about new priorities, challenges and opportunities that the EPA is looking at and that we're looking at from the NEP perspective. So I think, the way that this works is, we're the folks with the localized focus and are able to bring the benefits of all the knowledge, wisdom, and perspective that you folks provide us here in Santa Monica, replicated, 28 times over. So it's a lot to cover in a few days. We also have access to a brand new meeting center at EPA headquarters. And although the details are still a little fuzzy and not finalized, we anticipate being able to open up that meeting for a hybrid option so folks can join in via Zoom or some other web service so that you don't have to travel to DC and try to get into the room. We hope that works out. And if so, you'll be seeing some information either coming from me or through Caitlin or other channels to make you aware of that opportunity. I think several of you may find it very informative to see what that looks like from the inside. Also take that opportunity while in, and I'm sorry, that was tentatively scheduled for Tuesday, the 21st of March. Also, we'll take some time during that week in DC to make some visits across some of the other federal agencies that we interact with, namely NOAA, and reaching out to, you know, congressional and Senate staff to make them aware of the work that we're conducting here and encouraging them to continue to support our efforts. So then moving into activities here on the ground, we've been very busy in the LAX dune restoration work, as well as along many of our beach projects. As you know, it finally rained like it hasn't rained since 2005. So the native plants that we've been working with are benefiting from that rain. But if you haven't experienced mustard, oh boy, you're going to experience it this year. I can see Rory nodding her head. Susie's in, Clark's in. So we're wading through fields of this and moving hundreds, if not thousands, of these plants out of the way to help continue to provide some space for our native plants that we're trying to continue to help support and establish. So that's been volunteer-driven work, as well as work of the Bay Foundation getting out there. And thanks to the Los Angeles World Airports for continuing to provide escort services and other opportunities for us to access those areas in LAX dunes. Similarly, as I mentioned, along our beach projects, which now reminders to folks or for folks now joining us, expand from Zuma Beach to our northwest, all the way down into Manhattan Beach in the South Bay. So similarly, weeding a European sea rocket is often the plant that we contend with on those dune sites. And I'll be joined tomorrow morning with for the second week in a row with a group of middle schoolers from Malibu Middle School, bringing them down to the beach, talking about coastal processes, looking at the lagoon at Zuma Creek, and having them collect some data and aid in the in some of the restoration work there. So that's all very exciting. This year we'll be starting off our outreach and really trying to advance towards permitting, potentially even starting some of the early stages of construction, is not the right word, but maybe implementation of an additional dune project on Santa Monica Beach. So that would be about 200 meters or so south of the current site that's now been established for a little over 6 years. So very pleased with the results there. And again, I have to thank, you know, City of Los Angeles, City of Malibu, City of Hermosa Beach, LA County Beaches and Harbors, State Parks, Audubon, all those folks make all that work possible for us. And you may have noticed, along with the rain, we had some amazing surf pounding along the coast of California, certainly very much in the news. And, you know, our coastlines are dynamic places. So we saw a lot of alteration of those coastlines, a lot of sediment transport, some pronounced erosion in a few places. So I'm excited at the opportunity to conduct some more monitoring later this spring. I guess we're kind of getting to the end of winter to assess what's going on out there, take a look at what we did and how it functioned. And again, continue that loop of adaptive management to see how we can improve our approaches to try to create greater resiliency for our very treasured, valued beaches. off into the ocean. Kelp restoration work continues off of Point Firmin. I think the team on this was like, I think we got 2 or 3 years left. So 2 or 3 years left of reducing urchin densities off of Palos Verdes. And I might say that we almost conclude our work there for kelp forest restoration. Thanks for everybody's prolonged support for that project. It is admittedly one of the largest of its kind in the Western Hemisphere and now internationally recognized for its success. So what we learned there in trying to protect our coast has translated internationally from Tasmania and around the Pacific Rim. Once the kelp forest is back and healthy and stable, it really gave us the opportunity to go after another one of our actions, which was restoring abalone, significantly culturally as well as ecologically. So we've continued to work with abalone, work with partners from Mexico all the way up through Washington State. Right now, the abalone are in laboratories, in their tanks, getting fed diligently by our staff to fatten them up and get them ready for their transition to the ocean, which will happen later this spring. Eelgrass, another big topic for us. And what I'm happy to report is we just got done with some monitoring of a transplant site on the leeward side of Catalina Island. So we moved some eelgrass from one area, a cove in Catalina, to an area where it once grew, but now is no longer growing. And the results of that in one transplant site, we couldn't use our plans to measure it because we were going to go out there to measure the single shoots that survived. They grew so rapidly, we couldn't tell them apart. So we had to shift to an aerial assessment on the fly to get an idea of what was going on. I have some more to tell you about eelgrass in later in the agenda as well, but that was really super to see and experience. And we'll hear from Georgia Tognoli, who is our director of our environmental engagement program, later in the agenda as well, and she'll give you an update as to where we've been working with the Environmental Charter School and with our boating communities, trying to assist them in boating green, or for these students to, you know, really start to engage in, you know, activities to improve the condition of their neighborhood through native plants and composting and planting fruit trees, and a really dynamic and exciting program that's coming out of the South Bay there. So with that said, I think I covered my list and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Tom? Seeing none, we'll move on to board business. First item is the election of a chair. Marissa?
Thank you, John. Actually, before we jump into the elections, there's an item 2E that allows members to give updates or reports. So if that's okay with you, we can give them the opportunity to do that.
Yes, you're right. I skipped that. So if there are any members that want to report on actions that they've implemented for the CCMP, this is the time for that. Jeff.
Yes. Thank you, Interim Chair. Marissa, I just want to check, is this an opportunity for me to make a short statement, or would you prefer that I comment under agenda item number 5B, member comment on issues not related to the agenda?
I think this is fine, Jeff.
Okay. Good deal. Listen, I thank you, Marissa. Thank you, Chair. Most importantly, thank you, Marissa. Thank you, Charlie. Listen, members, I just wanted to take a quick second and quite frankly express a little disappointment. Nothing of the commission staff surrounding a headline that appeared a few weeks ago in one of our major local newspapers depicting our El Segundo refinery facility as a worst emitter of some constituents into the bay. And I just wanted to highlight that from our perspective, We think nothing could be farther from the truth. And I really do appreciate many of you reaching out independently, but we take great pride in our many decades of what we believe is model water stewardship, dating back to several decades ago with our West Basin and Hyperion partner actually capitalizing ourselves the ability to utilize reclaimed water. And we currently utilize 80% reclaimed water in our refining process. And absent in this piece was the fact that we're the only refinery in Southern California that holds a NPDES permit. And within that rigorous permit, we have invested literally over $500 million in our own in-house primary, secondary, and tertiary water treatment capability. And in doing so, in fact, to not place an undue burden on the already strained, you know, municipal treatment resources that exist. And within that, and in the report, again, Our most recent NPDES permit was updated in 2017. We invested an additional $65 million to meet that rigorous standard with an acute toxicity limit that literally tripled by 70% in its rigor. And quite frankly, as we looked at some of the numbers in the report, the volumes that were stated specific to our operations were overinflated by a factor of at minimum 45%. And simply what it just also didn't account for was the scale and scope of our affluent discharge that In grand terms, within our 2-square-mile refinery property, we have a network of over 1,000 drains. We collect, treat every ounce and drop of stormwater and process water from our cooling towers that we utilize in our refining process. And that's something we're very proud of. And when it gets back to Measure W, some of you may remember, we actually were in support of Measure W. We worked very constructively with Sheila Kuhl's, Supervisor Kuhl's office at that point. So we think the connotations of being represented as the worst, when in fact on the scale, again, there are other discharge entities in the Bay that are 90 times those of our own. And at any point, we welcome you to come down and tour our facilities, you know, inside the refinery property. And I thank you for taking this amount of time, but you can see it struck a little bit of a nerve, and just really wanted to highlight that this is something that we're very proud of, not something that we think warrants being targeted as the worst. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. Any other member comments? All right, Marissa, let's move on to election of the chair.
Okay, thank you. So at the December 2022 governing board meeting, members decided to postpone the chair election until today, the February meeting, to give members time to consider the commitment. So we had an open nomination period from January 26th to February 8th, during which time we received a nomination for member John Bishop of the State Water Resources Control Board to be governing board chair. Today, we provided another staff report, including the nomination and election procedures for the chair election. And as a reminder, the chair serves a 2-year term and may serve consecutive terms. Self-nominations are fine, and floor nominations will be open today before the vote. So I guess I can answer any questions about the chair election or take comments. And following that, we can open the floor nominations.
Any questions for Marissa? Seeing none, I'd like to open up the nominations for someone else who might want to be chair. All right, seeing none, what's the next step, Marissa? Do we just
vote? I think we can move to a vote. So yes, we just need a motion for John Bishop to be governing board chair.
I so move, Rory Skay.
I'll second.
Great, and I can call the vote. All right, just hiding some controls. Okay, Marcella Benavides.
Hi, I'm gonna abstain.
Thank you. Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Thank you. Jacob Berman.
Yes.
Thank you. EJ Caldwell.
Yes.
Thank you. Charles Kasperi.
Yes.
Barack Campbellgard.
Yes.
Danielle Lafer.
Yes.
Dan Murphy.
Yes.
Warren Ontiveros?
Yes.
Catherine Peace?
Yes.
Randy Rodriguez?
Yes.
Thank you. Susie Santolina?
Yes.
Rory Skay?
Aye.
Clark Stevens?
Yes.
Steve Uhrig?
Yes.
And Jeff Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes and Jonathan Bishop is elected as governing board chair.
Well, thank you all for your confidence. Try not to let you down in the next couple of years. All right, so now we move on to the election for vice chairs, Marissa.
Yes, and now I can say thank you, Chair. So All right, so we provided a staff report that includes the nomination and election procedures for the governing board vice chair elections. And to summarize, the commission's MOU states that voting governing board members shall elect 5 vice chairs from among the voting governing board members. The vice chairs will also serve on the executive committee and may act as governing board chair in the chair's absence. Vice chairs serve a 2-year term and may serve consecutive terms upon reelection. So the last election for vice chairs was February 2021. We need an election today before their terms expire. The open nomination period was from January 26th to February 28th, during which we received the following nominations: Gloria Gray of West Basin Municipal Water District, Catherine Pease of Heal the Bay, Bruce Resnick of LA Waterkeeper. We also received interest in the vice chair role from 2 additional members after the nomination period had closed. So we'll just need to confirm those nominations during the open floor nomination period to follow. And those were Clark Stevens of the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains and Councilwoman Tracy Park of LA City Council District 11. So after the floor nominations, if we have 5 or fewer candidates, we can hold the vote as a yes-no slate at the discretion of the chair, of course. And if we have more than 5 candidates, members will need to list their 5 choices during the vote. Are there any questions on vice chair elections? Of course, you'll have a chance to ask questions after the floor nominations as well. I see Tom's hand, I think.
That was me. I was looking for the little button. Thank you, Marissa. I was just trying to keep up with that. Would you just kindly run down those names again?
Sure. So during the nomination period so far, we received Gloria Gray of West Basin, Catherine Pease of Heal the Bay, Bruce Resnick of LA Waterkeeper, and we received a couple of nominations after the nomination period closed. So we'll just need to redo those during the floor nominations. And that's Clark Stevens of RCD SMM and Councilwoman Tracy Park of LA City Council District 11.
Very good. Thank you, Marissa.
Sure.
So are there any floor nominations at this point? And I believe for Marissa, we need to, for Clark and Tracy to up again.
I'll nominate Clark Stevens.
I'll second that nomination, and I will nominate Tracy Parker.
I'll second that.
So now we have a full slate. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Given that I see none, Galen, I think we can go ahead and vote for the slate of vice presidents.
Right, thank you.
This is Eric Gilman. I think we need to first have a motion to vote on the slate and a second.
I will make a motion to adopt or to nominate the slate and call for an election based on the slate rather than individual.
And we have a second. Okay. Kaylee, will you do the roll call?
Yes. Okay. Marcella Benavides.
I am sorry, I'll be abstaining.
Thank you. Jonathan Bishop.
An enthusiastic yes.
Thank you. Jacob Berman.
Yes.
EJ Caldwell.
Yes, and thank you very much.
Charles Castleberry.
Yes.
Barack Camelgard.
Am I allowed to vote considering Bruce is one of the nominees?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, I think it's your discretion, but I'll let Eric.
Yeah, then yes.
Okay. Thank you. Daniela Furr?
Yes.
Dan Murphy?
Yes.
Warren Ontiveros?
Yes.
Catherine Pease?
Yes.
Randy Rodriguez?
Yes.
Susie Santolina?
Yes.
Rory Skay?
Yes.
Clark Stevens?
Yes.
And Jeff Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes and the five vice chairs are elected. Thank you.
Well, congratulations and thank you all. And so I think now we move on to consideration of the board minutes. Is that correct, Marissa?
It is. One more vote.
So I need a nomination or a motion.
A motion to approve the minutes. Correct.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes at the last meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Was that, apologies, Jeff, was that a second that you made to?
I think I made, I you can first me or second me, how's that?
Okay, Jeff made the motion, and I will second that motion, Jeff, thank you.
Okay. Caitlin, if you can do the roll call.
Thank you. Marcella Benavides?
Abstain. I will send at the meeting.
Thank you. Jonathan Bishop?
Yes.
Jacob Berman? Abstain. I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Abstain.
Abstain. Thank you. EJ Caldwell?
Yes.
Charles Casperi?
Yes.
Barack Camelgard?
Yes.
Danielle LaFleur?
Yes.
Dan Murphy?
Yes.
Warren Ontiveros?
Abstain.
You, Catherine Peace?
I'll abstain also since I wasn't present.
Randy Rodriguez?
Yes.
Thank you. Susie Santolina?
Yes.
Thank you. Rory Skay?
Yes.
Clark Stevens?
Yes.
Stephen Ehring?
Yes.
And Jeff Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you. The December 15 governing board meeting minutes are approved.
And I believe at this point we have a 5-minute break before our next item. Is that correct, Caitlin?
Yes, that's correct.
We do.
Okay. So, folks, we're going to use a 5-minute break and we'll be back at 10:21.
I think we're ready to stop sharing that slide. Thank you.
Okay, we are recording.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I think we're now on to information items. And the first item is an update from the National Estuary Program for the Santa Monica Bay on the fiscal year 2022 annual report. Caitlin? Would you introduce the item?
Certainly. I will start sharing my slides. Okay, so thank you, Chair and Governing Board members. Every year, Commission and the Bay Foundation staff. Oh, I can pause. Charlie, do you have your hand raised? Did you have a question before I proceed? Oh, I see you have a raised hand, but I can lower it.
No, I did not mean to raise my hand.
Okay. No worries. Okay. All right. So every year, Commission and the Bay Foundation staff develop reports to US EPA on the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program's efforts to implement our strategic plan, the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan, or CCMP. So this presentation is to highlight some of the accomplishments of the NEP and partners in implementing the CCMP actions in fiscal year 2022. Today, you'll be hearing from myself, Caitlin Gray, environmental scientist with the commission. We also have Tom Ford, you heard from earlier, the Santa Monica Bay NEP director and chief executive officer of the Bay Foundation, and Georgia Tunioli, environmental engagement program director with the Bay Foundation. So 2022 marked a number of exciting advancements and unprecedented investments to further equity, protect and restore ecosystems, improve water quality and availability, and increase climate resilience. Unfortunately, we can't capture all of that great work of members and partners in this presentation today. These efforts, including those mentioned in the presentation, are captured in the annual report, which we will post on the Commission's website and the NEP's website once finalized with US EPA. So with that, let's jump in. Here we go. So first, wanted to acknowledge the approval of the BIL work plan. The Federal Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, or BIL, provides over $900,000 annually in additional funding to each national estuary program to further their CCMPs, advance climate resilience, and ensure that at least 40% of project benefits reach underserved communities. In September of 2022, the Commission approved the BIL work plan for fiscal year 22-23. It includes 8 projects of new and ongoing efforts, and Tom will touch on a few of these in just a bit. Another exciting advancement in terms of funding, the Commission's Prop 50 grant program prioritizes projects that fill monitoring needs that were identified in our NEP's comprehensive monitoring program. So this is a plan that gauges the effectiveness of implementing our actions across major habitats in the Santa Monica Bay and its watersheds. In February 2022, the State Water Board approved projects for funding consistent with the Governing Board's recommendations. In October, the State Water Board approved a revised project list for 6 projects that are listed here after one project declined the award. Commission staff continue work to develop grant agreements with execution anticipated in the next few months. The projects will fill data gaps to better understand climate change impacts in key habitats, including soft bottom, rocky reef, rocky intertidal, coastal wetlands, freshwater riparian, and chaparral. LA Sanitation and Environment's Prop 84 funded project is the West Neighborhood Greenway Project, and it constructed 2 bioswales to capture and treat dry and wet weather flows to improve water quality in the receiving waters while providing native habitat for wildlife and opportunities for public engagement. The project received a 6-month extension to complete wet weather monitoring and was able to complete one of the 2 required monitoring events this past winter. And we plan to schedule a final project presentation for the April or June Governing Board meeting. So excited to hear more about this one. So now to touch on a couple of our partners' work. The Malibu Creek Ecosystem Restoration and Ridge Dam Removal Project aims to restore aquatic habitat quality and connectivity and natural sediment regimes by removing barriers like ridge dam while benefiting species like steelhead trout. The Wildlife Conservation Board approved $12.5 million to complete 90% design of the project and released a request for qualifications to select a contractor to lead the planning and design, with design anticipated to be completed in spring of 2026. The Topanga Lagoon Restoration Project aims to protect and restore the lagoon and adjacent uplands, integrating public access, recreation, and visitor needs while protecting important archaeological and cultural resources. The project was awarded $540,000 from state parks to develop visitor service elements and $1.6 million from the state budget to further environmental review. The project also released a notice of preparation and held a public scoping meeting to gather input on the impacts that the Environmental Impact Report, or EIR, should consider. The Wallace Annenberg Wildlife Crossing, formerly known as the Liberty Canyon Wildlife Crossing, will span over the 101 freeway, which was identified as the most significant barrier to ecological health in the region. And it is to reestablish ecological connectivity for native plants and animals in the Santa Monica Mountains. The governor's 2022-23 budget allocated $10 million to the project, and construction was initiated in the spring of 2022, and that included grazing hillsides and preparing native plants to install along the crossing. And some of our member organizations are making strides towards building local resilient water supplies. Metropolitan Water District and LA County Sanitation District's Pure Water Pure Water Southern California project will take clean wastewater and further purify it to produce a new sustainable source for Southern California. The project completed the scoping phase of the environmental review process, including releasing the notice of preparation, and the draft EIR is anticipated to be released in summer of 2023. The Pure Water project by Las Virgenes Triunfo Joint Powers Authority purifies recycled water for indirect potable reuse. The advanced purification process is currently being piloted at the Pure Water Project Demonstration Facility. In December, the programmatic EIR was approved, providing a pathway for the full construction of the full advanced treatment facility. And as I mentioned, we couldn't capture everyone's efforts in this presentation, but I'll turn it over to Tom to thank our partners and talk a little bit about the Bay Foundation's work. Tom?
Very good. Thank you, Caitlin. I think, yes, the spirit of partnership is absolutely alive in the collective work that we all produce and promote around here, and I think well highlighted already in today's meeting. And just wanted to bring us back to, you know, these seven overarching goals that are the priorities provided to the NEP based on US EPA guidance. And I think that we are, you know, moving very well across these seven, once again, goals that we're trying to get at. So, you know, protecting the ecosystems, I think we've seen many projects that get there, and maybe the image on the left, this is myself and members of our team at the Bay Foundation moving container stock out of our little holding area down at the city of Manhattan Beach to help advance the development of native vegetation along that dune project there. As a, for instance, Caitlin spoke to a number of projects that worked very, very beautifully against our issues, increasing water availability, improving water quality. Certainly at the heart of this is, you know, tourism, recreation, fishing, huge socioeconomic drivers associated with this landscape, much of which is very much in our focus, as well as making sure that we are reaching out to the community in an effective way, not just ourselves at the Bay Foundation, but across our partners in the NEP to, you know, make sure that folks know about what we're doing and how it benefits them and how it affects their lives. And then certainly many of these projects, I think, also provide multiple benefits. And many of those multiple benefits can help us focus on resiliency to climate change. Again, focusing on this picture or the activities engaged there was, you know, building a more native vegetation assemblage along these dunes, which not only helps protect us with coastal erosion, coastal flooding associated with sea level rise, but also improves the aesthetics of the area, provides for wildlife. So again, many of these projects have multiple benefits, and we'd love to highlight those and feature those when we can. And then we learn a great deal from these projects, and we'll continue to do so, and that is much the importance of how we structure and then move to satisfy our comprehensive monitoring program. And those investments featured in Caitlin's presentation with Prop 50 have certainly gone a long way to help that. And we'll continue to provide that in the future. Next slide, please, Caitlin. So I know we always seem to have a good amount of kelp. So let me just remind everybody that the reason why I think kelp is so important to us all is that it's not just what it does in the kelp forest, but when it breaks off and drifts around the currents and gets tossed up onto the coast or masses up in the wave wash or even transits down through our submarine canyons into deeper areas, it provides habitat, it provides food and cover all through all those places. So we've continued to do this work as I was finalizing this presentation. right around this year's Super Bowl. I was reminded of last year's Super Bowl and the effort that we were joined in with Force Blue, which were veterans from Special Forces who were divers, showed up in LA and helped us actually execute aspects of this project. So I included a link for that video in here. And yes, another 3.78 acres restored, another 7.5 acres monitored, and the results in the kelp forest manifest very quickly. We've seen an increased density in spiny lobsters, greater algal and invertebrate diversity. And again, reflecting back on what Caitlin shared, the actions of the commission in August and September have moved forward funding through the BIL program to help advance this work in the future. Next slide, please. I already spoke to abalone as well in my comments as to what we've been up to for the last couple months since we last met. The image on the left is us actually feeding one of these enclosures that we install on the ocean floor temporarily to provide a temporary shelter for these abalone while they acclimate to the ocean. In the past reporting year, we outplanted a little over 1,400 endangered white abalone, another little over 1,100 red abalone, not endangered, but certainly of interest ecologically as well as to fisheries and traditional cultural aspects of folks here in Los Angeles. The abalone that I was speaking to that are still with us in our mariculture facility, roughly 6,900 of them moving around to the cultured abalone farm from UC Davis, some of them making their way down to us already. So that's what happened in the year. They're now with some of those animals are now with us here in LA, and we'll be going out into the ocean later this spring. And once again, thank you, the commission members, for their support for BIL funding to help advance this work. So thank you. Next slide. So I spoke about that transplant project off of Catalina and its success, and that was with a species of eelgrass, it's Zostera marina. These activities were with a species of eelgrass that's a different one, it's Zostera pacifica. This pacifica species is not very well understood by science in comparison to the marina species. It lives in deeper water in open coasts, which are not your typical habitat when people think about eelgrass. So we had conducted a first of its kind transplant effort with pacifica from Catalina Island out to three sites within Santa Monica Bay. We had success for 150 days, as the second bullet point indicates, when we were out conducting our quarterly surveys throughout 2021 into 2022, July 2022, we found no surviving eelgrass in those sites. And noticed in our most recent surveys outside this reporting period, but in January, a tremendous amount of sediment movement. Some of our underwater markers were off station. So we'll see the results of that. It doesn't mean that this is something that we can walk away from at this point in time. The eelgrass may respond to that disturbance favorably, but we'll keep paying attention to that to see what occurs. And looking at advancing this work in this year and future years, deployment of some sensors that will help us keep track of chemical and physical parameters in the ocean to better characterize a habitat that these grasses may be successful in, so that we might narrow down places where we might have more success in establishing or reestablishing the species in the bay. And then lastly, I wanted to point out that a quality assurance project plan, which I produced for projects in which we are spending 320 EPA funds or other EPA funds and relying on those data to help inform us. One of those was produced this year is actually got off my desk just a couple of days ago. Next slide, please. You may remember receiving presentation or a description from Dan Pondella, who's the chair of our TAC, and it was his work and many others that led for the generation of the Palos Verdes Reef Restoration Project I think there's a pretty compelling video that was produced to highlight what that project was able to accomplish. The image that you're looking at is actually the canopy of the kelp that were growing off of that reef. And it was put in place in order to put emergent rock back on top or adjacent to rocky reef that had been buried by anthropogenically influenced landslides. So we lost a lot of rocky reef. It's a very productive habitat. It was humans that inadvertently aided in the deposition of the sediment. So this was an opportunity to go out and really build the first reef of its kind here in California that was really focused on the physical microhabitat requirements of many of the species in the ocean. So it's off to a great start. And I know that the Vantuna Research Group continues to monitor it to this day. many years ago, we were able to purchase a bunch of sensors that have been deployed around Santa Monica Bay. Some of those being deployed and maintained by LA County lifeguards. And we had a little over 3,500 detections of 7 juvenile great whites, largely between December 2021 and 2022. There are other species that these receivers are able to pick up depending upon the tags that have been placed in a variety of species of interest. For the protection for the sharks, for the protection of the public, we're certainly interested in learning about how great whites are in the bay, who's hanging around, for how long, their age, their size, a number of parameters that we track. And this one is BIL funding approved again in August and September, but much forward looking. We're just getting started with some work to understand how we might be able to add material or materials to the Santa Monica Pier breakwater to help protect the pier and provide other multiple benefits to the waters and the neighboring environment. Next slide, please. And I, again, spoke to you folks about work on the beaches. And I even mentioned the students that were out there a week ago. So this shot is honestly from a week ago. I thought it just really kind of captured what these sites are intended to do. They are, you know, growing native vegetation, providing wildlife habitat, et cetera, but also great living learning laboratories. So I was thrilled to have the students out there using some of the same methods that we use to monitor these sites over time. In February 2022, we added some more seeds to these areas, put in 344 plants, as the slide reads. BIL funding approved this past year, and hopefully we'll be, you know, reaching out to the community and starting to learn for preferences of the community as to where a site like this may be developed, somewhere near, say, the Venice Pier, southward through Marina Del Rey, and maybe even on the other side of the Marina Del Rey channel in Playa Del Rey. Next slide, please. Here is 28 tons of ice plant. If that sounds like a lot of ice plant, you're right, it is. And located all along this line of dunes in Manhattan Beach, which was really the focus or the largest part of the effort in order to start to convert that shoreline into something able to support native vegetation. Tremendous amount of volunteer and community support from this, especially from the city of Manhattan Beach, city council, outreach to the community. It's just been a thrill engaging with folks. And you can just literally see the work going on, pulling out the vegetation, getting the roots out, putting them into these bags, getting them loaded into trucks, carrying that down the beach and then off for hauling. So big effort. And an additional 1,400 plants that have gone in during this past year. And with this rain, I'm really excited to see how those plants respond and how the tens of pounds of seeds distributed across the landscape may also respond from that seasonal rain. Next slide, please. LAX Dunes is a dune habitat, but a different dune habitat. We've been very busy there as well. 13,500 plants, as you read, 20,000 pounds or 19,000 pounds virtually removed, and a lot of volunteers coming out to this site. So it's actually a really fascinating place to work. We see a lot of rare and or endangered wildlife at this site. And I think people really come away with an appreciation of how we've changed coastal Los Angeles at this site, perhaps even more so than our other places that we've done our work. So I want to thank everybody, the 286 plus volunteers and our staff, and the other groups who have come out to support this as well in making progress across this site. And I think there's just a couple more. All right. and I think we're moving on to Georgia at this point in time. Georgia?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Caitlin. Hey, everybody. I'm Georgia Tugnoli. I'm the Bay Foundation's Environmental Engagement Program Director. So I'm going to share some updates related to our program over the last fiscal year. But before I moved into that, I just wanted to speak a little bit to what environmental engagement means. So we're referencing a quote from the United Nations, and just to illustrate really that it's a process that involves the transformation of perceptions and attitudes into concrete pro-environmental action. So our fantastic team and collaborative partners work together to contribute to our mission through an integrative approach that involves social science, education, leadership building, and creative empowered communications. Next slide. Thanks, Caitlin. So one of our longstanding initiatives is Clean Boating. It's related to Action 27 and the CCMP. And this initiative is dedicated to the reduction of boat-based pollutants in our waterways. There are over 4 million boaters in California, one of the highest amounts of recreational boating in the United States. So these individual boating habits really matter and can add up when you're looking at pollutants like oil, sewage, hazardous waste, toxic clean products, and more. So with this, we aim to engage, empower, and educate our water recreators to help keep our waters clean. So what we're looking at here in these images on the left side, it's speaking to a community-based social marketing pilot study that we kicked off in Marina Del Rey Harbor. This effort targeted influencing behavior change and also really behavior reinforcement for the behavior that we want to encourage, which is the habit of using stationary sewage pump outs to dispose of one's boat sewage. To the right of that is showing that we continued our triennial monitoring effort to over 70 sewage disposal units from Santa Barbara to San Diego to ensure their operability, their access, and their efficient function. We also facilitated local clean boating knowledge shares within several communities, gave presentations, co-led dock walker trainings with the state, reaching hundreds of boaters, and additionally facilitated the distribution of California boater kits, which are pollution prevention toolkits, to over 3,000 individuals. We continued to manage and strengthen the Pump Out Nav app with our partner San Francisco Estuary Partnership. So no discharge zones will soon be featured on the app. And additionally, we finalized our Coastal Quest Marine Protected Area Outreach and Education Grant by producing a project recap report, in addition to producing three other reports, which you can find on santamonicabay.org under resources. So outside of these efforts, we also secured Clean Vessel Act education and outreach grant funds for 2023. Next slide, please. The next initiative we're highlighting is Table to Farm, which is connected to Action 22 in the CCMP. Table to Farm began in 2016 as a partnership between the Bay Foundation, environmental charter schools, and the community, collaboratively working to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by recycling organic food waste and growing local produce. We're really thrilled that in fiscal year 2022, we were selected to receive EPA Environmental Justice small grant funds to revitalize community compost bins at Environmental Charter School Middle School. That's a lot to say. Environmental Charter Middle School in Inglewood, their high school in Lawndale, and also build a new one at their brand new high school in Gardena. So this work is in motion, but during this time period, last September, we're looking at photos from the middle school in Inglewood and their creation of the bin build with support from the Bay Foundation. Next slide, please. So this slide touches on a community garden that we co-developed with Environmental Charter Middle School Inglewood in 2020 and 2021 to foster circularity between the compost systems and local food generation, and really overall increase access to fresh vegetables and lush green space alongside its campus. While the garden was situated in 2021, in early 2022, we produced a case study that kind of showcases the goals and the whole story of that project. So that's what is captured in the QR code to the right. And in addition to that, Environmental Charter Middle School Inglewood has continued to host monthly volunteer events, the third Saturday of every month, to support, garden maintenance and bring folks out to the community and really foster that connection. So if anyone's interested, Those are all listed on our website as well. And these are images from a volunteer event in June of 2022. Next slide, please. And then through Clean Water Action's Rethink Disposable Program, we converted 3 Los Angeles County yacht clubs to eliminate over 58,000 single-use disposable items from entering landfills annually. Rethink Disposable is a program that cuts waste at the source by providing support to food service operators with single-use disposable items that are used on on-site dining. So while the majority of this work and technical assistance occurred in fiscal year 2021, at the end of fiscal year 2022, we closed out the project and also produced a case study kind of recapping the whole story and its results. So these are some images from that case study. At the middle of the top, we're looking at a before and after at Shoreline Yacht Club in Long Beach. And at the bottom, it's Santa Monica Windjammers before and after, and they're located in Marina Del Rey. So in addition to carrying out Rethink Disposable in fiscal year 2022, we applied for and received funds to continue this implementation of this impactful source reduction work for this calendar year and into 2024 on a larger scale and in different regions of City of LA. So we're really looking forward to that. And furthermore, connected to source reduction and marine debris prevention and Action 32 and our CCMP, we continue to be active in the Reusable LA Coalition. Reusable LA is a powerful cohort of organizations working to reduce plastic pollution through legislative advocacy, outreach, and engagement, and it's co-led by Heal the Bay and Five Gyres. Next slide, please. All right, so then zooming out a little bit beyond environmental engagement program and reflecting on the Bay Foundation and Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program's communications at large during fiscal year 2022, we had some really exciting accomplishments and are excited to continue to drive and really strengthen both entities' communication to further awareness of each's mission, engage supporters, and grow. So we redesigned and launched SantaMonicaBay.org in October of 2021. We also created and launched SMBNEP.org in that same month. And during the 12 months of fiscal year 2022, nearly 30,000 users in total visited these websites, which is an increase from our baseline analytics. We also implemented several social media campaigns from volunteer highlights to staff features, end of year impact rundowns, and much more. We had a combined follower net growth across our 3 social media channels of over 400 individuals. We generated 130,000 impressions and realized a 4.4 engagement rate per impression. We sent out many email newsletters, the Baywire, in addition to countless programmatic email updates to over 60,000 users with a mirrored high engagement rate of about 30% opening the emails. So a little bit in the weeds, but just wanted to speak to that a little bit. Next slide. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening, and huge thank you to the team and our partners and grantors, and our contact information is here if you have any specific questions.
Thank you. And we did not have any public comment requests for this item, so we can move to member comments or questions if there are any.
Seeing none, thank you. And we'll move on to 4B. Marissa?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So each year, the Commission collaborates with the Bay Foundation to develop the SMB-NEP annual work plan. This identifies activities to implement the CCMP for the upcoming federal fiscal year. After the governing board approves the annual work plan, the Bay Foundation submits it to the US EPA as part of the application for the annual Clean Water Act Section 320 NEP grant to carry out those activities. So the draft fiscal year 24 work plan outlines next steps, partners, objectives, and outcomes for work to be performed between October 1st, 2023 and September 30th, 2024. This must be submitted to the US EPA by June 1st, 2023 to meet deadlines. There are many opportunities for commission members, stakeholders, the public, anyone to provide input on the draft work plan, and these include today at this meeting. So please feel free to speak up. Also, during the written public comment period, which opens today and closes on March the 3rd, and at the online Santa Monica Bay Stakeholders Public Workshop, which is next week, February 23rd, Thursday at 2 p.m. So following that, Commission staff and the Bay Foundation staff will finalize the draft fiscal year 24 work plan, will review and consider all input received, and complete the budget and staffing sections. We will retain any input not incorporated to consider for the next CCMP update. And the governing board is anticipated to consider approval of the final draft fiscal year 24 work plan at the April 20th meeting. No action is requested today. So that's kind of the background. And of course, we provided a short staff report and the preliminary draft fiscal year 24 work plan as meeting materials. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to NEP Director Tom Ford to provide an overview presentation on the work plan. So I think, Caitlin, if you could share the slides, and Tom, over to you.
Thank you, Caitlin. I guess I'm getting used to saying that a little bit more often, but thank you, Marissa. Perhaps apologies in advance, because we're definitely going to be straining against some redundancy, I think, in what you've already heard from me today with this presentation. But I felt that, you know, other members of the public not participating today who may find these items online, who weren't able to attend the meeting, you know, needed to see some of this material standalone. Apologies if some of this seems a little familiar at this stage of this meeting, let's get moving. So this would be for the upcoming fiscal year work plan, which would ensue on October 1 of 2023, continue for 12 months to September 30th of 2024. Here are those same seven CCMP action plan goals that I shared with you from our annual report progress, or the progress we made towards this same work plan last year. Sometimes from year to year, these priorities do change or shift from the US EPA, but this year they have not. So we're still operating underneath these same sort of strategic goals. So we are well situated to continue to make progress against these, as these are what we've been working on for a couple of years now. Next slide, please. I think this was worthy of a lot of words going up on the screen. This final strategic plan includes the addressing climate change and an unprecedented goal to advance environmental justice and civil rights. So these were certainly different than our guidance many years ago, which was really almost very narrowly about habitat and water quality improvements. I think it shows how the NEP programs are maturing and how the United States Environmental Protection Agency views its roles and responsibilities to the residents of this country in a more contextualized light. Very excited for not just the opportunity, but you know, the absolute push to continue to make progress across these goals, in addition to the others that I think we have long learned around the Santa Monica Bay NEP to be our daily in and out. Next slide, please. So I've condensed a few of these. Kelp, abalone, and seagrass, those are all individual actions, and I'm just taking a slice of some of these actions, highlights again of what are contained in what is otherwise a fairly large, hopefully impressive and comprehensive approach to the work we'd like to do next year. And I also wanted to make sure throughout this presentation I'm sharing with you today that we really focused on the partners that all contribute to make this work happen. The image in this case is most certainly one of our interns placing a numbered tag on that white abalone that you see there. So this is what it looks like when we're working in the lab with them, and we get their size and their weight, and we identify them with not just one tag, but some other colors as well, so that when we encounter them or just their shell in the ocean later on, we can really inform if they grew or not. We can even sometimes look at some features to identify or suggest how they may have met their demise. What ate them in some cases is something we can infer. But it takes years, as many of you experienced in your own careers, to develop the depth of these types of partners that you see recorded in this list here. And so all these folks are contributing, you know, jointly or across, and then sometimes only singly to some of the work that we propose for this coming year to advance our work on kelp, abalone, and seagrass. Next slide, please. Assessing and implementing offshore artificial reefs. And I already mentioned in my last presentation our interest in trying to see what might be done with the Santa Monica Pier breakwater. Was very pleased mid-January to take advantage of the king tides that we have in January. So this was a negative 1.9 foot tide that allowed us to take our boat out and working with a team from UCLA using LIDAR technology, scan the entire emergent surface of the breakwater off of the Santa Monica Pier. It's about 600 meters in length. And this is actually one of the higher points of that breakwater. And we can see that there's already a pretty decent assemblage of mussels and barnacles on here. And we're really excited about moving forward this year to learn more about what's happening underwater and in the areas immediately adjacent to the breakwater to see if there's some activities for us to produce. And once again, could not do this without a whole host of partners. And we'll be looking forward to engaging with them in fiscal year 24 as well. Next slide, please. Here is a shot of the Santa Monica Beach dune pilot restoration project. This was about a week after those big waves and those rains subsided in early to mid January. And you could see the amount of wooden debris that washed up on our shore. The winds that were pretty intense just the last couple of days and the week prior to that have now, you know, covered much of that woody debris with sand, where it'll start to degrade and decompose and provide nutrients for the plants we're trying to establish, as well as even just physical obstacle for the sand to pile up. So it's a very exciting time for our monitoring to start to elucidate what might come from this. Certainly, we've got interests and plans to develop a second site here in Santa Monica during fiscal year 24. We're looking at a potential expansion of the project footprint in Manhattan Beach, and I think also a very real opportunity to assess the series of these projects to augment all of them, perhaps through some annual plants, seeding those in there, which would aid, I think, in the aesthetics, as well as provide some more opportunity for pollinators and some of our native biota. Exciting project. And thank you again to our many, many partners. Next slide, please. And so if you pay close attention to this slide, you'll see that the Bay Foundation doesn't appear on this one. And I know that fortunately, we have folks from State Parks and Resource Conservation District of Santa Monica Mountains with us today. So I'll invite them to speak to this more so than me filling you in on the blanks, but there's a lot of great progress that's been made. Caitlin featured some of that in her report regarding progress made last year. We expect more progress this coming year for the Malibu Creek system, as well as in this case, the image depicting the Topanga Lagoon flowing at a pretty high water across the beach berm. I'll invite those folks representing those agencies to speak if they choose so in a little bit. Or there's Clark raising his hand now. I don't know if you want to let Clark in the door. Let's go ahead, Clark.
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to mention that overlapping this meeting is a WCB grant consideration as part of their today's meeting up in Sacramento to fund the project through completion of CEQA and the Caltrans second phase document, which is their environmental document. So I haven't heard yet, but expect good news today to help us continue. And that's part of a big budget allocation for Steelhead that went, thanks to Assembly Member Bloom and his staff, went to the RCD to continue our genetic project, or genetic kind of, I guess you'd call it a rescue project, as well as this project, habitat restoration here and elsewhere.
Oh, hi. This is Danielle from State Parks. I think this is listed as a Malibu Creek ecosystem restoration project. I think, did you mean Topanga? Or are you?
No, Danielle, I'm sharing screens and merging some things. So yes, this is a picture of Topanga. So I got that right.
Right.
Which is why I spoke to it.
Great. Thank you. So in terms of the Malibu Creek ecosystem restoration project, that involves the removal of Ringe Dam. And so we have funding for planning and permitting for that particular project, which is really exciting. We expect to have a kickoff meeting March 15th, ideally, to get everything started.
All right. Well, I wish you both great success in those endeavors, and kindly let us know how we can continue to support you in those wonderful and ambitious projects.
Yeah, thank you.
Next slide, please. So I think this one causes me to reflect on what Georgia was sharing with us about environmental engagement. And maybe in this case, P22 deserves a lot of credit for what that animal was able to cause and inspire people to get engaged. And I think it was, in my opinion, the imagery and the stories and the longevity that we were able to interact with this animal that really drove to those investments in the Wallace Annenberg Wildlife Crossing. It's not the only one of those that we need, for sure. We need to bet wildlife movement across many of our landscapes, but this one certainly jumps foremost in my mind. And I honestly can't talk about this cat without getting emotional. And then also I wanted to remind folks of the community-based engagement, and that is the focus of the work that we've been leading in Biona in the Ecological Reserve with TBF to bring in folks, have them experience those wetlands, see them through, you know, perhaps a different eye, look at the potentials of what that landscape could be, in addition to the activities of a number of other partners who are engaged in similar efforts or, you know, working at larger scales on the overall restoration plan for Biona. So I expect us to be supporting and or working towards these efforts collectively in fiscal year 2024 as well. And I see Jacob's hand up. So Jacob, if you'd like, please.
Yeah, I just want to quickly say, especially about Biona Wetlands, which also is in Council District 11, that it is a huge priority for the Councilwoman Park to be an active partner in restoring the wetlands and ensuring that it is going to continue to be a great resource for the community and, you know, continue to be preserved. So looking forward to being very involved.
Very good, Jacob. Thank you. And thanks to the council member on my behalf. I would look forward to seeing you engage on those efforts. Next slide, please. Here, I think Clark already opened this one up a little bit with the steelhead and really, you know, what he may have mentioned. And Clark, please correct anything that you feel like I too conveniently provide here. But, you know, those steelhead are the strain of salmon that has the ability to persist in a future of climate change stressors that will span the West Coast. And their stock is the natal stock. It's the origin of these trout for the West Coast. And there are so few of them left that their genes, in addition to their individual bodies, are of such great importance. And I guess this was one of those lessons that kind of boomerangs around and gets you. When I came to LA and started doing this work with all of you, I was like, wow, if we can save LA, we could save anywhere. But I never thought I'd be actively involved in endangered species recovery. And I don't know why I thought that. Maybe it's because I thought those animals were and plants were no longer here. And I've certainly learned that they are. And so every time we can make some progress, allow some more space for wildlife, improve their physical chemical environment, give them the habitat they need. I think we've been very well surprised at the results of those efforts. And in this case, the images of a sea cliff buckwheat plant, which is where the where our El Segundo blue butterflies and our Palos Verdes blue butterflies complete their life cycle. So without that plant, they're lost. So a number of the dune projects that we're engaged with our many partners, you know, are starting to prioritize making sure we get that plant out there to aid those butterfly. In addition to the California red-legged frogs, the tidewater gobies, the steelhead trout, the white abalone, and others. Next slide, please. This was something that was also addressed already today in Marissa's comments near the beginning of the meeting. But I got to tell you, this is one of the easiest parts of my job as an emissary and a communicator for what Los Angeles is doing on a national stage to try to deal with water availability, water quality, to tell our whole story. But the investments that the people of this county and what LA County Department of Public Works and the various structures within the Safe Clean Water Program have been able to produce are absolutely precedent setting, unbelievable. I meet folks who are, you know, wringing their hands trying to figure out how are we going to solve this problem back home. And I'm often able to say, hey, you should check out this program because it's momentous. So I think in capturing something that Marissa invited us and Caitlin invited us into today, Georgia spoke to, we're looking to hear from you today about what you may have seen in that plan already. Remind you that this is that time of the year for you to engage in our planning to help us formulate our work plan for next year. We've got a couple months to move this thing through planning to completion to submittal. So we're very interested in hearing from you. And thank you again for your attention to this presentation. And I think we'll open it up from here.
Thank you, Tom. I just want to remind the chair that we do have a request for public comment on this item.
Great. So let's move to the public comment now. Caitlin?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just adjusting my screens. Travis, thank you for setting the timer, but I'm actually going to be sharing some slides for our public commenter so I can track time separately. Walter, just give me one moment to get your slides up and then I will let you know when you have the floor. Thank you. Okay, Walter, you now have the floor. I will start your timer.
Thanks, Caitlin. Good morning, everyone. Walter Lamb with the Biona Wetlands Land Trust. Tom briefly mentioned the Biona Wetlands. This is something that's been kind of going in circles for a very long time. Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission used to be directly involved. This is from 2005, joint presentation with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. If I could have the next slide, please, Caitlin. And a slide in a similar presentation, I think for about a year later, had the heading, It Takes a Village, and highlighted Santa Monica Restoration Commission as part of that village. Unfortunately, the reason the wetlands have not progressed the way they should is that village kind of evaporated. A lot of people felt it was politically uncomfortable to stay involved. If I could have the next slide, please. This is the planning schedule at the time. The actual construction was supposed to start at the end of 2007. Next slide, please. This is Mr. Bishop's, who was executive officer of the Los Angeles region at the time, talking about the beginning of the planning. It's actually started in 2004, but this was from 2006, talking about the planning for the restoration all the way back to the annual report, 2006 of the commission. Next slide, please. This, jumping ahead, is 2016. By the way, I won't get into all the detail, but so this is from the Bay Foundation. It talks about invasives. And I guess the thing I would call out, I sort of increased in size here, is that north of the creek, you see a dire need. This is actually from 2013, so it's been about 10 years. And what is happening instead is, for political purposes, a focus on the southern portion, which you can see is much more green. And the highlight here says, this shows if we do nothing, we are harming the system. Next slide, please. So just to be clear, we are doing nothing. and we're harming the system. So collectively as an environmental community, we're failing. And specifically this commission, by sort of avoiding what's understandably not the most comfortable, not the most enjoyable conversation, is contributing to that, is contributing to harming this very important ecosystem. Next slide, please. And so this Biona sequence is 1 and 2, which, you know, is just hard to understand how the priority is going here. But it's being positioned as the first two steps towards the larger restoration. That's absolutely false. If you were to compare it to a, you know, road trip to Mexico City, you might drive through Laguna Beach and then Chula Vista on your way to Mexico City. That could be the first two steps. But if you don't have a passport to get across the border, if you don't have the funding to do more, it's really disingenuous to claim that you're taking the first two steps on a road trip to Mexico City. You're just taking a road trip to Chula Vista. And that's a very different thing. Could be a great trip in its own right, but it's a very different thing. This first two sequences, this is not where the plan was going to purportedly address sea level rise. We go to the next slide, please. One of the basic premises is to return a water source to an area that's been starved of its water source. Clearly not true. And I suspect that most people on this call just don't get to the Biona wetlands. This is actually, I took this picture right behind the RVs, which hopefully there will be a resolution to that soon for everybody involved. But just the idea that this is starved from historical water source is false. Next slide, please. I won't get in. By the way, on the earlier slide, I should say, this presentation is at tinyurl.com/smbrc with other links. Next slide, please. So again, sea level rise not being addressed with sequences 1 and 2. Next slide, please. And public access as well. I think I'm out of time. Thank you very much. We'd love to connect with you, Mr. Berman, and talk a little bit more about what's happening at Biona. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a great meeting.
Happy to talk.
Thank you, Walter.
So I think this is time for member comments. Erica.
Thank you, Jonathan. I wanted to express my appreciation for both of these reports and for all of the work done in the last year by folks in this room. We could probably have an all-day conference to do that, and that would be amazing in itself, but I'm not requesting that. Don't worry. Just about this upcoming work plan, I'm really excited to hear folks, you know, their feedback, comments, you know, as it comes in. And maybe you said this and I totally missed it, but could maybe Caitlin or Marissa, could you just tell us how people can give you, how you want feedback?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay.
So the written public comment period opened today. There was an announcement sent out that's also announced on the website, but the email address for that is smbrc@waterboards.ca.gov. And again, you can find that on the website. That's open today through March 3rd. And next week on Thursday, the 23rd at 2:00 p.m. is the public stakeholder workshop. We'd love to have you for all part some of that and get feedback there as well. There'll be breakout rooms for open input, a public comment period, et cetera.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'll also follow up and say that the final draft will come before the governing board in April. We'll compile and provide the public comments. So those will be transparent, likely a summary as well. There'll be a redline version, and there's plenty of opportunity to provide input there or really any time in between. So.
So at this time, are there any members that have initial comments that they would like to make? Obviously this you're seeing is early now, and there's an opportunity over the next few weeks to provide comment to review, but this is an opportunity for you to give initial feedback. Rory.
Yeah, just one comment on the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing. Please add National Park Service as one of the principal partners, NPS.
Thank you. Any other comments at this point? If not, I want to thank Caitlin and Tom for their presentations for the last two items. And do we have any other board business, Marissa?
We don't. We have member comment, no closed session today.
Okay, well, this is your opportunity for any member comment before we adjourn. Erica.
Thank you. I just wanted to take the chance to express my gratitude to, well, to all of you and to Marissa. You've been a wonderful partner to work with over the past couple of years. So you will be missed. You've definitely made things, you've done a wonderful job. So I look forward to hearing stories from your new job. And Caitlin, I'm available. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Erica. We appreciate you too.
Okay, well, unless we have any other comments, I think we'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Randy.